right. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that. Scarcely for a righteous man would one dare to die, but Jesus died for all of us. Amen? And that while we were yet sinners. The military folks that we think about on Memorial Day, they did die for our physical freedom. And we always remember also Jesus died for our spiritual freedom. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in our Bibles, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I was here Wednesday night and I want to come back to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to look at something here today that looked at it Wednesday night. Going to look at it a little differently today, perhaps, and focus on this once again. I want to preach to you today on this thought that the Christian and his sorrow. The Christian and his sorrow. Paul talks a lot about that here in this passage, and I want to look at it again. Let's stand for the reading if you're able today. If you're able, I'm going to read down through verse 10 or 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Right there, he refers to the fatherhood of God three times. Parents usually are comforting, right? And should be. And he reminds us here that God's the God of all comfort, but he's our Father too. He's not just a mean, bully God up there in heaven. He cares about us. Amen? All right, verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift of bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Pray you'd bless the reading of it in our midst and strengthen us and encourage us with it today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Christian and his sorrow. There's a lot of sorrow in the world. When we think about Memorial Day, there's sorrow attached to that. Now, we're grateful, but there is a lot of sorrow with that. When you, perhaps tomorrow there will be a lot of, or today and tomorrow there will be a lot of maybe documentaries and war shows and things of that nature on television. And you watch those things and they'll remind you of the sacrifice and they'll bring a tear to your eye. It is sorrowful whenever we think of the folks that have given their lives and what they endured and what they went through before they gave their lives so that you and I could be free. I often see the thing that they gave their life so you can enjoy your weekend. You know, we call it Memorial Day weekend and all of that. But it's Memorial Day, and it's to remind us of those great truths. But that's sorrowful to think about. What our nation has endured, what our nation has had to go through. But we also think about here, Paul's talking about the Christian and his sorrows. There's many sorrows that are associated with being a Christian. He's talking here about the sufferings of Christ. Now, Paul really knew about the sufferings of Christ. He suffered for Christ more than you and I have, right? We may face some suffering. We may face some ridicule. But Paul really knew what it was and even talked about being at the brink of death and trusting in God who raises the dead. He probably was thinking about Jesus, the God that raised Jesus from the dead. He might have been thinking, well, if they had killed me, I was hoping he's going to raise me back from the dead too. I don't know if he might have had that thought in mind there, but he knew the Lord could because the Lord had done it before. Amen. And we do know there's going to be a future resurrection because Jesus is resurrected. Amen. Because he lives, we'll live too, right? And we thank God for that. But there's a lot of sorrow that goes on even in the Christian life. I've told you before the story about Jim Elliot and how at 28 years old, going to Ecuador in 1956 with Baptist missions to go to the Aka Indians. I mean, they had flown their plane over this particular island many times, dropping down supplies and dropping down care packages, trying to soften them up, right? And they did that for days, and then they finally decided it's time to go meet them. And they went, they landed their plane on the beach, and the Indians were coming, and the wives heard them make the comment over the radio, they're coming. They're coming to meet us. They're coming to see us. And I think a comment was even made that I don't know that we've seen these particular ones before because they had been surveying and watching and everything. But then everything went silent over the radio, and if you know the story, those Indians speared them through and killed them right there on the beach by their plane. All they were doing was going to share the love of Christ in the will of God. By the way, Elizabeth Elliot convinced the other wives to continue the endeavor, and you know, they eventually led those same Indians that killed their husbands, they led them to Christ and established a church. But it was to the glory of God that they gave their lives, right? And gave their lives so that others could learn about Christ. So there's a lot of ways, I guess, to do that. But what I'm getting at here is suffering is not a stranger to God's people. If you suffer as a Christian, the Bible says, not as an evildoer. Now, you're going to suffer if you do evil, right? If y'all go out today and, go out tomorrow and rob a bank, you're going to suffer for it, right? You say, no, I'll have a lot of money. No, it's not going to work. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work, right? And you're going to suffer for doing that, right? You're going to suffer the consequences as an evildoer. So you go out and do something wrong today or tomorrow, you're going to suffer the consequences. But sometimes you'll suffer when you didn't do anything wrong just because you followed Jesus. Paul knew all about that. Noah knew about it in his day. There's going to be times when you suffer just because you follow Jesus. But there's also going to be times when you suffer because God will test your faith, like Job. There's going to be times when God will put you through a trial and God will put you in a valley and you're going to face some things within the sovereignty and the providence of God that God allows into your life. We don't know why God does or allows some of the things He does, but we read the story of Job, we read the stories of Joseph and so forth, and we know that He does. So some of the trials you're going through right now, you might be saying, God, I'm suffering and I don't understand why. It might just be because you're His child and He has a reason for it, right? It could be because the devil's trying to tear you down and he's trying to break down your faith. He does that, right? He's trying to tell you to hate God. He's trying to tell you to drift from or turn away from God and forget God, curse God, and die, the devil's telling you. He's trying to break you down, but yet the Lord's using some of those same trials to build you up. And sometimes we go through these things as Christians, and you all can think about things that you've gone through, and you understand that Christians do have sorrows. Sometimes, as Jim Elliot, in the work of God, even in the will of God, these things can happen in our lives. So it's common to all of us, heavy burdens. By the way, if you're saved and you're a Christian and you've got loved ones that are not saved, you've got a burden right there. You should, right? You got a burden for your loved ones that might be on their way to hell. You're burdened about that. You could be broken about that, and you pray about that all the time, right? You're concerned because they're not concerned. Well, you know, I believe that's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He knew he was going to the cross for souls to be saved, and many would not be, even though he made the way. It grieves the heart of the Lord. He cares more than we do about that. But here we are going through sufferings. We're weighed down oftentimes with trials and troubles in our life. And Paul knew about that. Paul talked about perilous times. Truth of the matter, Paul was talking about perilous times in which I think you and I are living today. But you know, you could describe Paul's ministry as perilous times, couldn't you? Paul talked about the many perils there in Romans chapter 8 that he had to endure, yet God brought him through, right? But he still had to endure them just the same. So what is he doing here? Well, he is not blaming God. You know what he's doing here? He's praising God and encouraging others. If the Lord help us do it, he's going to help you do it too. Paul is actually giving encouragement here. The Christian and his sorrows. That sounds negative. But you know what? We can encourage each other. If God's been faithful to you, you can encourage somebody else. He can be faithful to them. And he's always faithful. He will be faithful. Amen? And you can say, the Lord has brought me through it. Or the Lord is bringing me through it. Some things you never get through. But with the Lord's help, you continue to go through it, right? And some heartaches that we carry really for all of our lives. But we can encourage one another. One commentator said, if God be the God of all encouragement, which is what that means, it follows that discouragement is not from him. God's not trying to discourage you today. Moreover, discouragement for a Christian comes from another spirit. We would do well to consider the source when we are discouraged. That's something to think about. It's something to pray on, perhaps. Lord, why am I discouraged? Where's this discouragement coming from? Because, Lord, I don't believe you sent it. He might have sent the trial. He might have allowed the trouble. But he wants to encourage our heart. He wants to build us up in our trouble and trial. God's not trying to tear us down. He's not trying to discourage. So I think that's a pretty good point to be made. Lord, where is this discouragement coming from? What's the source of it? And Lord, I often pray, Lord, remove the devil and his evil forces from our services and from our families and all of that. And you might say, Lord, remove that spirit of discouragement and despair also. Let me get focused on you again. Amen? And your plan and what you're trying to do in our life. So Paul, again, is not blaming God. He's actually praising God. And he gives testimony here. He doesn't give us details, but he said, I almost died for the faith. But the Lord delivered. He said he delivered in the past. He's delivering right now. And I'm confident he's going to deliver in the future. Amen? That's a lot of faith in God right there. Verse 10. Look what he said in verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us. That's present tense. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's pretty good right there. God's brought me through past troubles. God's bringing me through a current valley, and I've got all the confidence in the world. He'll do it again. Amen, right? Isn't that how you live the Christian life? You know, America's been through a lot over these years. I'm glad God's still helping and delivering. Let's keep praying for his continued blessing. Amen? And have confidence that it will be in the future as well. Let's pray for that, right? But you have to do it in your own life as well. And have that kind of confidence. If God's done that in the past, he's doing it today, he'll yet do it in the future. Trust him for it. Amen? All right, let me give you a few thoughts. First today, number one is this. First, sorrow comes to every person. It comes to every person. There's just not anybody that doesn't know what sorrow is. Not anybody. Look, somebody might have more than others, but everybody has some sorrow. Everybody experiences it. Hey, did you know, by the way, even the person you see smiling all the time has sorrow? And they just might be covering it up real well, right? You know some folks that are happy-go-lucky? They might be some of the most depressed people you've ever seen. It's the truth. It can be that case, that way. Proverbs says this in Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. At the end of that mirth, which is joy, is heaviness. It's true. Every person knows sorrow. You say, well, I know somebody, they're never sorrowful. You don't know that. You only see the good side. You only see what they let you see, right? When I said that recently, I heard a preacher say that. Preacher said, I only show you all my good side. Y'all don't see my bad side. I said, man, that's pretty honest. Well, it's the truth. We all do it, by the way. I hadn't seen none of y'all come in here yet and show us your bad side. You show us your good side, right? You might get in the flesh and come in here one day and do it. I don't know, but I hadn't seen it. Most of us know how to go to church and put it on pretty well. Amen? How are you doing? All right, you're lying. In church, you're lying. How are you doing? By the way, I think all right is okay. Now, if you say I'm doing great, you may be, you may not be. I don't know. I like to say I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. Because then I ain't got to tell the whole story. Amen, right? Just leave it at that, right? But no, sometimes I hear people say, well, I got one guy, I quit asking him how he is. He'll call me quite often, and I'll just say, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. I got sick of hearing it, honestly. I mean, every single time, you know? Blessed and highly favored. Now, look, I know you're blessed and highly favored. I get that. So, the choir's singing, I am blessed. Amen? Every day that I live, I am blessed. I know that. I get that. But we don't always feel it. We all know what sorrow is, whether we show that we know it or not. Everybody has a burden. Everybody has a concern. Everybody has a prayer on their heart for themselves or somebody or some situation. Amen, right? People are going through things even when they don't show you that they're going through things. You know, my brother is like that. He doesn't tell you stuff. He's coming to the end of his 6 weeks of chemo and radiation. And it's been, he'll bear his heart sometimes and tell you how bad it is. But very rarely, though, will he do that. And my mom would tell me, I know he's not doing good, but he won't tell me, details, And he don't want to worry her, and stuff like that. We can all be like that to a point. But I'm just saying sorrow comes to every person. Various ways it comes to everybody. Some people have financial stress. Poverty can bring financial stress. Any amens there? Wealth sometimes can bring problems. Domestic disputes, shattered hopes, dreams, relationships. A lot of people go through that, don't they? There's a lot of ways people can face sorrow. I've already mentioned consequences of your own sins, and sometimes it could be consequences of somebody else's actions that affect you, right? Worry. Anybody ever done that? Worry is the attempt to control the future. Things beyond your control. But don't we try? By worry. Have you ever controlled the future by worrying about it? The Lord said sufficient for the day, right? There in Matthew 6. He said you got enough to worry about the day, not to be worrying about tomorrow, right? You got enough to deal with right now without worrying about tomorrow. Now we're going to do it. It's in our nature. We're concerned. That's why we got to trust God and follow Him. He knows the future. We don't, right? We were in Sunday school this morning in John 6 when Jesus asked Philip, what are we going to do about feeding all these people? But the Bible said there, he said that to prove him, for he knew what he would do. The Lord already knows what he's going to do. The Lord knows your future. You don't. That's why you're worried about it. And you're trying to control the future by worrying about it. And you're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it either. That's an impossibility. It's beyond our control. And we waste today's energy worrying about tomorrow. Right? And sometimes we let days go by worrying. We don't even enjoy these days because we're worried about tomorrow. A lot of folks do that, right? You ever done that? You do that. But I'm just saying, we've got things on our mind, we've got things on our heart, and it can bother us. Even Jesus knew sorrow. Now he wasn't a worry ward. He didn't worry, but he knew sorrow. Isaiah told us this in Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men. Well, that ain't no fun. And he was more seriously than most despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's like very well acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows. That was his life. The Lord knew what it was to be despised. He knew what it was to be rejected. He knew what it was to be betrayed. He knew what physical pain was. He knew what emotional pain is. He knows what spiritual pain is, as he suffered it on the cross, and he's burdened for lost souls all the time. So don't ever say the Lord doesn't know what I'm going through. He knows. He's been there, right? He's done this. He is our high priest. Amen? And he's already suffered these things that you and I suffer. He faces the thing. Tempted in all points. So don't say there's something the Lord, I'm going through that the Lord never faced. That's not true. The Bible says all points. It all falls into certain categories. And the Lord's tempted in all points. The Lord was a man of sorrows, the Bible says. Someone has said this, God had a son without sin, but not without sorrow. Now there's a case, and I said a minute ago, sometimes you can be affected by somebody else's action. Well, that's certainly a case. Jesus is that case, right? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, not for his own sin, right? Isaiah 53 bears that out. It wasn't for his sin that he died for us. He bore our sorrows. And by his stripes, we are healed. Every person, sorrow comes to every person. Number two, let me say this. Number two, sorrow has purpose. Sorrow has a purpose. We don't always know what it is, but God does. God has it. Now look, when I say that, sorrow has a purpose. Now I'm talking about Christian people in the providence of God, the sovereignty of God. That God allows things that are going on in your life. God already knew they were coming. He could have stopped them. He allowed them, right? God has a reason and God has a purpose. We don't always know what that reason or purpose is. But we sometimes have to go through a valley we don't want to go through, right? You know, kind of like this story of this guy that he went to this gym and said he wanted to take some boxing lessons. And they said, all right, well, get on in here. And they put him through a rigorous workout. And then every night after night, he had to spar with these other aspiring boxers. And after a few nights of that, beaten and battered, he said, and bruised and sore, he said, y'all got any correspondence, you know, that distance learning that I can do? No, you can't do something like that by distance learning, amen? You got to go through it. You got to suffer it. You got to endure it. But what happens? As you endure it and go through it, you get stronger. I could read about how to do certain things, and I could watch other people do things and that are grueling, and maybe I could watch somebody else run, watch somebody else do a workout, watch somebody else lift weights, watch somebody else play a sport, and watch them sweat and watch them and say, my, you look like you're hurting there. I am hurting, you know. But you know what? I don't get benefit. They do. I've been watching it, but it doesn't help me none. You got to go through it, right? You might watch somebody go through a valley, and you may benefit and get blessed to a degree, but maybe with some encouragement by it. But until you go through it, you don't experience the growth that they experienced, right? It has a purpose. We have to go through it. A man read Malachi 3:3 in the Bible, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. The Lord will. He'll sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Then he went to a place that made jewelry. He watched the refining process. The jeweler sat over the crucible and held the precious metal in the fire with his tool. Do you have to stay with it and watch it? The man asked. Oh, yes, sir. I must keep my eye on it or else it can get too hot and it can injure the silver. Then he said, I know the silver is purified when I can see my reflection in the metal. There's a lesson there, right? The Lord wants to make you more like Him. He wants to see that reflection. God wants to look at you and see Jesus. But you know what Paul's saying here? You got to go through the sufferings of Christ to get there, right? You got to go through some valleys. You got to go through some fire. You got to go through the flood and sometimes the blood to get that benefit. It has a purpose. Again, the devil's trying to tear you down with it. God's trying to build you up. But God's grace is sufficient. It'll always sustain you and strengthen you and give you more and more of what you need in the times of your sorrow, right? We have to go through it. Charles Spurgeon said this, you can have the finest food on your table, but if you're not hungry, you'll never know just how good that food really is. In the same way, without sorrow, we will never truly appreciate God's amazing grace. You know, if we don't go through this life, we may not appreciate heaven. The Lord might, He could have saved us and took us on to heaven and we take it all for granted. You know what? He leaves us down here on this life of, this earthly life of faith and toil and trouble. I tell you what, we're going to appreciate heaven a whole lot more when we get there. Amen? Right? You watch a loved one suffer. You watch a loved one suffer and die in Christ. You're sad they're gone, but by that point, you're pretty glad they're in heaven. Amen? Right? You learn to appreciate the good things that God has in store. By going through the trouble, by going through the trial, by going through the suffering, it has a purpose. So the Lord, again, He's our high priest. He knows all about it. By the way, Paul said in verse 4, let's look at verse 4 again in our text, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you know your trial just might be so that when you come through it, you can help somebody else get through theirs? That's a purpose. You might be able to tell your story one day and help somebody else. You know, I was thinking about this thing. You ever heard somebody tell their life story? They tell their story. Come on, guys. They tell their stories. And they tell all the dirty details of their life and everybody around them. You ever heard that? And you're like, oh, wow, man, I'm really blessed by that. Have you ever thought about all them people in the story that wish he had never told the story? You ever thought about that? I think about it as a preacher. There's some things I'd love to tell, but I just ain't going to tell because, you know, you're throwing somebody else under the bus, right? Or all of that. But anyway, I don't know how those people do that, but I do know. I do know. You go through things, and then you can use those things discreetly to help somebody else. Amen? Is what I'm trying to say right there. You can use those things to help somebody else. So he said we're comforted in our trouble so that we can comfort somebody else in their trouble. So this trouble, sorrow, comes to all of us. Sorrow has a purpose, number three. And maybe this is the greatest purpose. Sorrow brings us into God's presence. Sorrow brings us into God's presence. The Lord, you know, it's not like you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm having trouble, I'm having trial, I'm having a problem, hurt today, whether it's a physical hurt or an emotional hurt or a spiritual hurt, whatever it is, but Lord, I know you don't understand. But you'll never do that. No, honestly, you can't do that. It draws you closer to Him because He is that great high priest who understands. Because He's been there. If you go, you talk to somebody about something that you know about and you're interested in, y'all click right there and y'all can talk about that subject. And maybe they've had your same ailment. Maybe they've had your same surgery. Maybe they've had your same sickness. And you can compare notes and learn from it. Well, the Lord knows all about what you're going through. And He promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. So when you go through that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Amen. He's right there in that valley with you. It brings you closer to the Lord. You know, in Romans 8 again, I've been looking at that lately. I'm not preaching on it right now, but again, he talked about nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Nobody... No person can, you can't, no trial can, no trouble can, the devil can't. Now look, worldliness and backsliding and drifting from God, yeah, that can separate you as far as your fellowship goes with God. But trials cannot do it. It didn't do it for Joseph. Joseph was right there. He hung in there, amen. I think he got closer to the Lord in that prison, don't you? I think he got closer to the Lord even after, because he trusted God in the prison. Whenever he finally got back to the palace and exalted, he realized then he needed the Lord still. And he got closer to the Lord. Job certainly did that. Trials cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Dangers cannot. It didn't separate Noah. Noah got in that ark. He was shut in that ark with Christ. Amen? He went through that flood in Christ, if you will. You and I today, like Noah, we're going through the flood. We're going through the trouble, the trial, the world all around us. But we are safe and secure in Christ. Amen? Hey, the boat's still rocking. It's not fun. I didn't say it was fun for Noah. I said he was safe and secure in the ark. Amen? He still had to endure it. He still had to go through it. It is a type. It is a picture of the Christian life. It is a picture even of the church having to go through all of this. But the Lord has a great plan by the end of this thing. Amen? And the Lord said, go to the other side. Well, the Lord didn't tell us a storm was going to come up. The disciples had to look at each other and say, the Lord didn't tell us a storm was coming. And don't He know all things? I mean, if He knows everything, why did He tell us to come out here? I wonder if they might have said that. They'd learned by then the Lord knows all things, so I wonder why He didn't give us the weather forecast before He sent us out here. Amen? Matter of fact, isn't He in control of the weather? And then He went walking out there on the water to show them just how much He was in control of everything. Amen? The master of the sea we sing about. Choir sang about that last week, I think. The Lord, it brings us closer to the Lord. Misunderstandings cannot separate you from the presence of Christ. I mean, Mary and Joseph in the New Testament. She had a lot of misunderstandings. Didn't separate her from the presence of Christ. It brought her closer. Amen? And she became the mother of the Lord through all of that. So we know these things are going on in our life. God is for His children. Are you for yours? You think about that. Are you for your children? God's more so for you as His child. Amen? Right? God is for His children, no doubt about it. Somebody has made this statement. We don't get strength for the load, we get strength from the load. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. The Christian in his sorrow, it has a purpose. And one of the purposes is to bring you closer to Christ. To strengthen you in the Lord and in your faith. And to make you appreciate victory, even heaven, that much more. He has delivered. He is delivering. Got confidence He will yet deliver. He didn't say you wouldn't go through trial. As a matter of fact, Paul makes it clear. I've come through some stuff. I'm coming through some stuff. I'll come through some more. Amen? By the help of the Lord. And then heaven too. Amen? Thank God. You're going through sorrow? Trust Him. Follow Him. Thank Him. He has a purpose. Let it draw you closer. To salvation if you're lost. To sanctification if you're saved. Amen? Let's bow our heads this morning. As we think about this morning, you might want to come ask the Lord to help you. You may want to come cast your cares and lay your sorrow on this altar this morning. Dear Father, help us and speak to our heart here this morning, Lord. Meet the needs, whatever they might be, in this congregation. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Some folks are here on the altar. Some folks are praying. How about you here this morning? Christian and his sorrow. Not the Christian may or may not have sorrow. We have it. We know it. You know it. You've been through some things. You know what it's like, but so does Jesus. Ask Him to help you discern the purpose of it, but also draw closer to Him in it. You're in the valley of the shadow of death, perhaps, but fear no evil. He's with you. Never leave you nor forsake you. He has a plan yet still. He has deliverance now and in the future, just like He has in the past. We got to trust Him for this. Amen. Amen.